Here we go again. It's the news, according to me. Yeah, it's just another show. Another show in the can this week. It's Thursday. It's a glorious Thursday. And rainy and soupy all night. It's June 19th, 6:30 in the morning, believe it or not. June 19th, Thursday. I guess it's Juneteenth, isn't it? I guess what this is today. Whatever that means. 2025. It is, we have, well, June is almost over. My vacation, quote, invoke in quotation marks. It has been a good 6 weeks. I did not get nearly as much done as I thought I would get done. However, the last week and a half, I've gotten a few things accomplished and completed, which is, it's good to complete some things. It's always psychologically very healthy for a person. As well as just completing the show. I just, you know, even if nobody was listening to this show, I think I would probably still do it. I think just for my own sanity, I feel like I can talk things out with myself. It's like a little self-help program that it's like fix yourself kind of thing. You fix it. You should have a podcast called You Fix It. Or Me Fix It. Whatever. Yeah. A few things in the news we'll continue to talk about. Not a whole lot extra going on. There is something really brewing, though, and I don't understand exactly what it's all about. It has something to do with something, and I don't know what that something is. But we're going to talk about some issues that are going on. Obviously, it's the evidence of things unseen sometimes that you have to look at to figure out what's going on. And of course, it's all speculation at this point. But there's some serious stuff going on. Just about almost as serious as what's in my cup. I have chai with Almond Joy Creamer, of course. Of course I do. Because I'm in the home studio. And if you didn't notice, I'm actually live today. However, I'm recording this live. It's not a live broadcast. I was thinking about doing it. I really don't have any content that really needs to be put out there live. I was going to do a video. I thought, I'll do a video, post it later to Rumble. I'll just at least record it, post it to Rumble. I really don't have any video to play. I haven't had a chance. It's so early in the morning, and I didn't have a chance last night to put anything together for today's show. And it's just I've got some stuff to get done today. I got an appointment to go to. Got to get out of the house here, but at 8:30 this morning, and I have a few things to get done prior to that. So I'm just trying to cram as much as I can into the day. And of course, then later on today, I have to have everything in line for me to be gone for a while, because now I'm going to go back to work for a while. So I'm going to be traveling on the road again over the weekend, tomorrow and over the weekend, which will be a little bit difficult, mainly considering that I've been with my dog almost every day for the last 6 weeks, other than, you know, traveling times. Sometimes I've been boarded for a few days here and there. But for the most part, it's been a Velcro dog situation, and I don't know how this is going to go for me being... Well, he'll still be home. He'll be fine, but it's one of those things where... it's going to be interesting to see how he does without me being around all the time here at the house. But I mean, he'll be fine. I don't know what's going on with him down there right now. My floor is a little bit wet. The basement gets a little bit wet when we get torrential rains, which we got yesterday. And the floor is just a little bit soggy in this one corner. It's not as bad as it used to be. There's more vegetation out there now around the house that keeps kind of things from just running into the groundhog holes. Anyway, we have, it's a long story. My backup cup, I have a fresh batch of finely aged, perfectly aged, sweet peach tea. a gallon of, and it's, of course, that's, I'm kind of just getting the ice right now, unfortunately. This thing sat, I had to have this cup, I poured a cup of sweet tea yesterday, and I put a lot of ice in it. The ice just came tumbling out of the refrigerator into my cup, and there's a whole lot of ice in there, so it's kind of watered down, but it's right at the top where the, I should have stirred it up a little bit. I'm kind of drinking the melted ice water off the top here. There we go. That's a little bit better. At least it's peach flavored ice water. We have, so in the meantime, I don't think he should be eating that stuff. He's licking the carpet because it's wet. As if we don't ever give him any water. He drinks about 2 gallons of water a day, at least. He can drink, after a walk, he can drink an entire 2-liter bottle of water. Just, it's gone. That's just one of his drinks that he does. I fill up his water containers. He's got several around the house. Fill them up several times a day. Needless to say, it has to come out at some point. And yeah, that does happen. He does that a lot too, along with the food. Anyway, we have a few things to talk about today. There's something weird going on. Trump did some weird, just the Trump news here. We have apparently, he left the G7 early. Now, I don't know when exactly he left. I think it was sometime yesterday or the day before. Left the G7 early because there was something very important he had to attend to. Now, Macron, the knucklehead prime minister of French land. They had he apparently tweeted something out or whatever it was. He posted something on social media or said something or whatever he did, saying that Trump has to go back to, he has to negotiate a deal. He's got a deal in negotiating with a ceasefire between Iran and Israel. Well, I don't know where he got that information. But, of course, Trump took no no time wasted, I guess, in responding with a, oh, Macron, whatever his name is. We call whatever we call him. I'm sure he has a nickname for him. Always making things up. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just, you know, it was pretty hilarious. And he likes to jab fun at these guys. So he ends up saying that it wasn't, but it's more, it's, he said it's bigger than that. It's much bigger than that. I'm curious now. This is it's bringing up a lot of curiosity. I don't, of course, now the left is still maintaining their minds. Now they're calling for impeachment again. I think Jamie Raskin is calling for impeachment of the president again. If this is going to, we're not even a year into a 4-year program here, and they're still doing all this stuff. Trump is about as left from, you know, as left as a Republican can be, in terms of liberal policies, and they still can't, you know, accept anything this guy does. He's this terrible monster. And they keep up this rhetoric, and it's just, what bothers me about this is how people get. There are some very disturbed individuals out there. And unfortunately, there are more and more disturbed people, more and more entering that disturbed camp every day because of the rhetoric that's going on the left. Now you can say, well, it's not the rhetoric, it's the person itself. The person did this, you know, they have a mental problem and whatever. When you continually convince people day in and day out that someone is Hitler, that someone is a fascist, that democracy is going to, if we don't show up on Saturday, democracy dies. That's what Eric Swalwell was saying before the No King's Day protests. If we don't show up, democracy dies. Well, there are some people out there who consider themselves to be very patriotic and they want to save the country. They have this self-aggrandizing feeling that they can lay their life down for their country. I have to do this because Orange Man bad, and I've got to stop him. And they can go out and do some pretty crazy things. And that's where we are this morning with this whole thing, is we have to understand that you continue to say those kinds of things, you ramp up the hyperbole. It's not healthy for anybody. It's not healthy. And unfortunately, the Democrats, many of them are believing, they've been ranting and chanting this stuff for so long. Chant the rant. That they're starting to believe it themselves. That they can't comprehend anything. And of course, the people who go and actually meet with, now there's some interesting stuff that has happened as well. And this thing about meeting Donald Trump. Bill Maher, it was interesting how his whole attitude changed. And when he was talking, this interview, it was very telling. When he was talking to Sean Penn, not that Sean Penn matters, these Hollywood people, they really get way too much credit. They get way too much notoriety. And of course, by being able to visit the president, in my opinion, that's just one more thing that just shows that they're, we've bought into this whole thing that there's some kind of important people in the world. It just strokes their ego. Now, of course, Sean's not going to go see him because it would be, I'm not going to visit that guy. He's just terrible. And of course, Bill Maher is sitting there basically saying, I think you're just triggered. You're emotionally triggered. And Sean Penn has said, maybe I am. All of a sudden, a moment of self-awareness, which is very rare. And I think that's what happened to Bill here. I think in when he went to visit the president, he was very open and honest. And of course, that's what the first thing that Sean Penn said was, well, he's not going to be honest. He lies about everything. He's not going to be honest about anything. Can't talk to the man because he's not honest about anything. He'll lie about it. And Bill was basically saying, I was honest about everything. And we had to open up, a very honest discussion about a lot of things. And he's not going to allow him. He goes, he can drive you crazy, but he's not going to drive me crazy anymore. He's not going to trigger me anymore. So because he's met with the man, and he was very honest about how he felt about, the meeting and how it went and everything else. And he was, I think, shocked at the rhetoric that he's been believing this whole time, and finds out that the man actually is not who he's, who the media claims he is. And part of the problem is every time he gets up and speaks, every time Trump gets up to speak, the media spins what he says. And then, of course, you think, the person who's up in front of the camera is not the same person I met in person. Well, no, because who's controlling the camera? Who's controlling the rhetoric? Who's editing everything that he does? And you have to realize that much of what Trump does is for the show. It's for the actual spinning of, makes the media's head spin. Basically, it's not just the spin they're putting on. It's the fact that they're spinning themselves around them in circles. And he knows how to play them, and that's what he does. That's what he's been good at for years. So that's where we are. We have, now in the meantime, there's this whole thing going on that's bigger than a ceasefire between Iran and Iraq, or between Iran and Israel. And that's pretty big. That's a pretty big thing. And if it's something that's bigger than that, what are we talking about here? What is going on? I think that if we, we need to. Oops, my dog is walking away from me here. There he goes. He's walking away. He just walked away. Come here, dude. Thought I had a hold of him there. I didn't have a hold of him. This is the live part of the show that you're not. I was telling you about. There's no editing here, folks. Get what you get here. Get what you pay for with this show. I thought I had my foot wrapped around his little leash there, and it wasn't wrapped around there. So he's gotta stay here because there's a cat down here. And that would turn into a different kind of show. We have this thing going, and so there's a lot of speculation. If you happen, I want to know what you think is going to happen. What do you think is happening that's so important he has to leave the G7 or whatever it is, whatever. You can call me and leave a message on my hotline. It's a 812-379-8778. And you can leave a voicemail, or you can text that number as well. If you live outside the country, you can go to google.com/voice, type in that number, and you can leave a message or you can leave a text. Ask a question or give me a comment. Let me know what you think. See if we can go from there. And you're not going to be put on a mailing list. You're not going to be put on anything. There's nothing like that. In fact, you don't have to give me your real name or anything. It's just whoever you are, just say whatever. Let me know if you want your voice and your audio. If you leave an audio message, let me know if you want that on the show. Let me know if you don't want that on the show. I'll assume you do. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I just I have a hotline that you can call. That's all I know. You can share your information. 812-379-8778. Call now. But wait. There's nothing more. We have lots of other things to talk about going on in the world. The protests again. I played this little audio yesterday of this lady who, you know, her husband and her son were walking out the door, and the son said, "Is this going to change things?" And she says, "I hope so. I hope so." How do you expect that? What exactly are you expecting out of this? When you go out and shut down a freeway, what exactly are you expecting to accomplish in this? What have you accomplished in the past? Now, you know, informational rallies and that kind of thing. I get it. You're getting out there. You're getting awareness. You're, you know, raising signs. You got your thing going on. I hope that people who are doing this, now there's probably not a whole lot of people in this audience that are participating in this stuff. Now, I actually went to some Tea Party gatherings. And that was back when it was a grassroots thing. It was actually just people just getting together with this idea that, hey, we're taxed enough already. And they were talking about raising our taxes. Obama had just gotten into office. The left, right away, said the Tea Party is a racist, white supremacist group. Because we have a black president, therefore, they have to protest him. No, we're not protesting him. We're protesting taxes and the taxes he wants to raise. We're protesting his policies. He's talking about raising taxes. He wants to tax and spend. That's the whole thing about the government was they want to tax and spend, tax and spend. They're going for your wallet. I think the first person who really laid it out in a debate against a Democrat was George H.W. Bush. He was running against, I think that was McGovern, actually. He made it very clear when they talk about programs, watch your wallet. This is what they're coming after, your wallet. It's all about tax and spend. And of course, Herbert Walker Bush made this famous statement, read my lips, no new taxes. And then he raised taxes. And frankly, I don't think that's why he lost. I don't think so. Everybody says, well, you know, he said no new taxes, and then he raised taxes, and that ruined his. It's kind of like Jimmy Carter saying that he lost the election because he couldn't get the hostages back in time. Jimmy Carter did not lose the election because of that, and even the people who were, well, let's look at James Carville. He didn't say it was because of taxes. He said it was the economy, stupid. That's when he made that big statement that everybody said for years after that. It's the economy, stupid. It was the economy under Jimmy Carter that was a mess, It was the economy under Georgia that they gave the perception of it being a mess. We were in a natural slump at that time. There's about a seven to eight year period. About every 7 to 8 years, we go through a cycle, and it's pre-planned. I could get into the whole money system and how the Federal Reserve works with the banking institutions and how they shave things off and regroup everything every 7 to 8 years. I could get into all that whole thing. It's not speculation. You can see it on, you can, if you put it on a chart, you can see it very clearly. But that's what we were in. We're at the end of one of those. And they knew full well that's what was happening. These people, these economists that they work with, they know what's going on. But they drummed it into us that the economy was terrible. The economy's terrible. The economy's terrible. Oh, look, the economy's terrible. They had no idea what a terrible economy would look like. Nobody quotes numbers and how bad the economy was in the 1992 slump of '92. Nobody, have you ever heard of that? This never happened, and yet that's what they claim we had. We had an incredible economic bad downturn in '91 and '92. Economy was terrible. We had to have a new president. You don't hear that. It's not a thing. But they had the perception of it because they had the media on their side. They were drumming that idea in everybody's head. They'd repeated the lie so many times, everybody believed it. Oh, yeah, things are terrible here. Things are terrible. I'm doing okay, but apparently everybody else is doing bad. We got to get this guy out of office. Now, there have been other times when it's been the other way, and the Republicans have claimed that there was a bad economy. And there was. There have been times. What's been weird about this is that it goes the other direction when there has been a bad economy and we're told that it's not a bad economy. This is much like under Joe Biden. Oh, it's not a recession. It's just transitory. It's just a little blip and it'll go right back down. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to see here. It never did return to a lower rate than when he was elected. Never. Until after the 2024 election. Amazingly enough. So we have a media that is complicit, of course, in all the other stuff that's going on. The legacy media, especially MSNBC, CNN, ABC, they've tried to tamper their message. They realize that it's not working. And yet they have no other playbook. So what are we going to do to change things? Oh, I guess we'll have to regroup and come back and hit this again with the same thing. The definition of insanity is just to keep doing the same thing, expecting different results. And that's not what's happening. Now, they think that they're gaining momentum. They think then they'll find a poll somewhere that says that Trump is down in the polls. That's all they care about. If he's down in the polls, now it's time. Now we got to get him down in the polls and then we can attack him. And then we can impeach him and the country won't care. And just because we disagree on a particular thing, with something he's doing, one thing, doesn't mean we disagree with him altogether. Well, his popularity is down now, so his popularity on that one issue is down, or he did something this week. But overall, and there are actually people who've come out. There were some leftists who came out and said they voted for Trump, and now they're all upset about it. Oh, I wish I wouldn't vote. I don't know why. How I remember back to what your options were. Maybe that would help refresh your memory here a little bit. The option was Kamala Harris or Trump. And you were seeing people have forgotten already what the economy was like, what the plans were for the country, for the nation, what was happening with, you know, their whole reason for voting for Kamala was, well, he's a fascist. He's and of course they brought all these people out from the woodwork. Supposedly, Kamala had this big announcement she was going to make. She came out and made this big announcement from the White House. She talked to some general who was ousted from the Trump administration back in the 20, his first administration, and claimed that, oh, I had this big announcement to make, that this insider has claimed that he's very concerned about this man being a fascist. He's very dictator type of person. This is coming from a person who was put into the election with no primary. after we were told for how many years that Joe Biden was perfectly mentally fine. Now Jake Tapper's crying because his book, try to redeem himself, his book he puts out that talks about the cover-up that happened among the administration. We didn't see this coming. They covered it up. So, no, you were covering your own eyes there, Jake. In fact, you were trying to cover our eyes. You knew it. It's like the little kid who puts his hands over his eyes and leaves his fingers open so he can see through it. That's what they were doing. And now he's upset. He's all whiny and cryy because people on the left don't like him, and people on the right don't like him. People on the right don't like him because he's just disingenuous and he's trying to too little, too late kind of thing. People on the right feel that way. They're too little, too late. Your credibility is utterly lost. And with people on the left, they're all upset that he would dare come out and say anything. How dare you? How dare you? You have crushed my dreams, ruined my childhood, whatever it was, stolen my dreams. And now I'm going to go to Gaza and fix that. We're going to break the siege of the silence, whatever that means. Break the siege of the silence. That was their big mission, their little diesel-powered boat that they were taking across the. I think it was a motor sailor. I don't know what it was, the kind of boat they had. They weren't doing much sailing. They were mostly doing motoring. So this is the kind of crazy wacko world that we're having to deal with right now. And of course, you know, now Trump has said he's not interested in war, and that doesn't mean that you can't avoid it at all costs. You know, you just have to avoid it at all costs. What you do is you have strength. And unfortunately, the Republicans in the past have said, well, strength and, you know, we're a show of strength and we're going to, you know, be diplomatic, but we're going to have a show of strength. And unfortunately, Trump is, you know, if he says it's going to be this way or this is going to happen, he's willing to let that happen. He has to. You could say he's backed himself into a corner by saying that, you know, I gave you 60 days to make this. He basically told Iran, you have 60 days to make a deal here. On day 61, all bets are off. And that's when they attacked. Well, that's when they counterattacked. You can call it all kinds of things. That's when the war, you know, that's when they got bombed back into 1925. It's going to be interesting to see how this all pans out now. Supposedly, there was a big movement. There was this guy who, I can probably find this, actually. It was just this morning. I think I was listening to it. Actually, no, it was last night. I was listening to this last night. I was listening to a whole bunch of stuff last night. I usually put on these stories. And I'll put on a documentary or something at night just to, I know some people put this show on at night just to put themselves asleep. But I said, where's my shorts at here? Not my underwear shorts. Just the YouTube shorts here somewhere. Oh yeah, we won't talk about this guy. That's the shooter from thing. I think it's still an issue. What happened to this? What happened? Where is all this stuff at? What this guy was saying is that there's a. It's not even on here. That's kind of weird that it just disappeared like that. This guy was talking about the this is way back. Oh, there's this picture on the internet now of an F-35 in the desert with a wing off, and there's a whole bunch of people standing around it. And of course, it is not to scale. This is a obvious phony picture because it's, you could fit 20 people in the cockpit of this F-35, and I guarantee you that's not happening. So there's this guy that made a public service announcement. He's calling it. He's basically saying that, you know, that this isn't a legitimate thing. Back to this picture, short. I was going to play it for you here, and I don't. What is that? I don't see it now at all. Apparently that was it. The I don't see any other shorts on here at all that I was watching. What happened to it? Was it in here? It must have been in here. I don't know. He's talking about all these this plane aircraft movement, and he was talking about the movement of this. There were all these airplanes moving around, going to Europe, going to all these different bases. Now there's a different. There's a they have exercises all the time where they're always doing practice runs, going. And this is why when they talk about the cost of something like a parade. Oh, it's $40 million. Well, it's $40 million that probably would have been spent anyway. You have to realize, it's probably something that would have been spent regardless. So it's not like they had some kind of, budget that it just spent just that money just on that particular item. That's that particular event. That's where they fool you into this whole thing of what it's going to cost. There's some cost to it. Don't get me wrong, but it's just the military is doing operations and exercises all the time, and it's costing money every day. So it just that's what they're doing. They're putting the cost of those particular units in. They're not just sitting around, counting their pennies every day. They're actually spent. They're doing stuff every day. It costs the taxpayer money. So don't. Don't think that this stuff doesn't, it's just hype me to gig again. It's just a hyper, kind of have a hyperbolic situation. Now, having said that, these airplanes are moving and the aircraft movement, a lot of them are bombers. And of course, there's all kinds of tankers was the biggest thing. Right at the same time that a 747, which was the only 747 tanker, was hit. In an airstrike. Now, I don't know if that was. I haven't heard much about that. In fact, I should probably type that in. 747 tanker hit in airstrike. Let's see if we can find anything on this. This is all tankered. This is all drop fuel tankers. I'm looking for a fuel tanker. Fuel. Let's type in that. Air crash investigation 2021. Fuel tank explosion, 747 air safety. That was 8 months ago. TWA flight 800 crash. Yeah, I don't see. There's nothing in here. About it. Giant RC jet explosion. Yeah, there's nothing about the tanker. Apparently it was hit on the ground. It was on the ground when it got hit. And it's not been very, can both engines fail at once? Air India 171, not bad fuel. Yeah, this is, again, I don't understand what happened there with this whole thing. There's two different tanks, bad fuel. I just don't see it happening. Even fuel contamination. The fuel filtration system was it's just I don't see there's fuel bypass. There's a bypass system on the fuel filter system. It's just I don't understand. How in the world this happens? It's just the dual engine failure on a 787. And my understanding was there's another 787 Air India. It was going. They had some kind of indication, some kind of malfunction, and they turned around, went back to either diverted to another airport or they went back to their original airport. And it's that's making big news now too. But the problem is you got this hypersensitivity to any kind of issue. Like, we got a caution message. Oh my goodness. Their friends just died in the crash, so now they're gonna freak out and they're gonna overreact probably. I've flown with people like this before. I've flown with people who are hypersensitive to certain things. They either had something happen to them that scared the daylights out of them, or they've they don't understand this. It's usually it's an insecurity about the way the system works or what, you know. Overreaction tends to be one of the biggest enemies for safe flight. You have to remain cool and calm, and you have nobody ever got done with a situation and said, "Thank God I panicked." Nobody ever said that. That's never been something someone has ever said. Panic is not your friend. Panic is not something that's going to help you in a bad situation. And you get into these situations like this, you just have to do what you have to do. Think about what you're doing. Keep your head in the game. Move forward. Do something and focus on that. Now, unsurprisingly enough, when I'm in these kinds of situations, even in the simulator, I have ADD. I've definitely got an attention deficit issue. It's obvious on this show. I can go from one bunny hole to another, and just like I'm doing right now, I'm going down this crazy bunny hole, bunny trail, whatever you call it. But when I get into a situation that demands my attention, it is. Amazing to me. I kind of amaze myself sometimes as to how focused I can be on a particular issue. And all of that distractionary multitasking stuff that goes on, and when it's all channeled into one thing, it is quite amazing in terms of how my mind can flip around and focus on one thing and be able to do that. That one thing, when it's, especially when it's life or death, it's a whole different ball game in your brain. And a lot of it's because of the discipline and the training and everything that you've gone through after over 20, 30, 40 years, whatever it is. But and almost everything I've ever done has required a modicum of discipline with regard to focusing when things get tough. I was a scuba diving instructor right out of high school. I was a scuba diving instructor. Underwater, messing around with scuba tanks and even snorkeling, whatever you're doing, diving in any situation, boating, that whole environment, you just don't panic. You just don't. You have to learn to stop, think through things, be very deliberate about what you're doing with every action that you do. Every breath, every moment has to be done deliberately, or you will panic and die. Or panic and get really, somebody else has to save you. I was also a karate instructor right after that. Started my own karate studio. I was at the age of 19. I was starting my own business as a karate instructor, opened my own studio, Taekwondo. And in the process of doing that, that's also something that, in the middle of a fight and when there's a lot of chaos, you go through all the testing that you go through, all the training that you go through. It's a lot about discipline. And there's something about self. Everybody says, "Oh, it's good self-discipline." No, one of the things you learn, especially as you go through the ranks and you get up into the higher ranks. Yes, you're a disciplined individual. It takes discipline to get you to the black belt, first degree, first cup, whatever it is that you're achieving. But someone else is doing the discipline. If you were left on your own, with no instructor, with no, the Japanese word is sensei. It's a different word in Korean, but I don't remember. I don't know why it escapes me right now. The Tochung is the training area. The Tobok is your uniform. I don't know what the instructor's name. I can't remember what the instructor, that blows my mind. I can't think of it right now. That tells you how long it's been. Unfortunately, training now, they still use the Hanadul set net. They still count in Korean occasionally, but do the, all the Korean words that we had to learn back then, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. I guess it was 40 years ago. And we don't do that anymore. Anyway, the point is, bunny, you know, talk about bunny trails. Again, there's a difference between that kind of discipline and the discipline that's required for you to be, you know, on your own, to train on your own and to move forward every day and remain disciplined. That's self-discipline. There's a big difference between that, self-discipline, and just being disciplined. When someone else is there, it's external discipline and it's imposed upon you. That's one kind of discipline. It's not a bad discipline. It's good. Most of the military individuals are, that's the way they're trained. Most grunts, most people who start off, go through basic training, go through boot camp, all the stuff you go through is all a matter of compliance and understanding that you are under someone else's discipline. You are being disciplined. You are learning to be disciplined. Self-discipline, not so much. It's a whole different ball game on a whole different level, requires a whole different kind of attitude and a maturity and growth and character, the whole thing. It's a whole different thing that's happening there, if you understand what I'm saying. In other words, it's different. I'm trying to get the point across. Being able to, you know, get your body up every day at a certain hour and do your workout and do all those things on your own for yourself, for nobody else, for no other reason, for no other motivation, that is self-discipline. And there are many levels and depths to that as well. But you have to get to that point. And typically you learn to be disciplined by having someone else, by being under someone else's discipline initially. So that's my point here. And I don't know why I was going there or what it was, but that's the point that the left, in my opinion, has no grasp on. But this idea that in a panic situation, which I don't know what happened with these guys in this airplane. It's just a very strange situation, and I don't know. I still don't understand. Supposedly the RAT was deployed. The RAT is Ram Air Turbine. It typically deploy. You can be manually deployed. It's got a lever inside. You can actually manually deploy the RAT if you need it. If you deem it to be needable. In most airplanes, you can manually deploy it. On the 787, I don't know what all the triggers are. Typically, it is either a complete malfunction or complete loss of power on the AC side or the DC side. Typically, it's AC that really is your biggest. If you lose all your AC, you got a limited time on DC because you're running on battery power. Now, you can start up what's called the APU, which is an auxiliary power unit, which is just a jet engine in the back that runs a generator. And that provides you with AC power as well. That, and also, you know, with that AC power then can give you power for at least system 3 on the hydraulics and other things. But I won't get too far in the weeds on this stuff, but there are three hydraulic systems. There's system 1, system 2, and system 3. System 1 and 2 are powered by engine 1 and 2 respectively. Then there's a system 3 that's usually the biggest system, and they're all tied to the primary flight controls. So if you lose one system, you still have primary flight controls. System 3 is the most critical. It can run on it runs on electric pumps, so it's got a hydraulic 1A and 1B usually, or 3A and 3B, sorry. And then the 3A system typically runs all the time. And then 3B is kind of a backup, and they automatically, if one fails, they automatically go to the next. And then system 1 and 2 also have an electric backup as well. So if you lose your engine on the left engine, then you also have system 1 still powered by an electric pump. Now, so there's all kinds of redundancy here. That's what I'm trying to get at. The RAT will deploy if you lose, then that RAT will give you, Ram Air Turbine will give you power. It's just a little propeller that sticks out of the airplane, and it runs like a wind generator. When you get, you know, 200 knots of wind going out there, it's going to give you some serious energy. So it's going to give you power to power up at least, you know, your hydraulic system to some degree. Usually it's about half the power that your normal system has. So it'll load shed a lot of things off the power. So you don't have some systems, but you have all the primary systems you need. So that rat deployed. So now at that point, you've got hydraulics again, supposedly. How in the world did they lose power on both engines and symmetrically, apparently? Now, there's a relay system on these engines as well. The new modern engines, if you flame out, it tries to light on its own. And so I guarantee the 787 has that feature. The airplane that I, even the Embraer 175 has that feature. Even the newer Canada Air regional jets have that feature. Now, the old 200 didn't have that, but the 700, the 900, they have, it's a relay feature. If you flame out, within about 10 seconds, the thing's trying to relight itself again. It typically comes back up again. If there's damage, something like that, if there's some kind of fire damage or that kind of thing, it will not relight. There was nothing to indicate there was any kind of damage, fire. In the videos on this whole thing, I didn't see any birds. Even on the clearest of the pictures, that the actual video that was first taken, I didn't see birds anywhere, which would have meant they would have had to hit them pretty close on the ground, which means your momentum is gone. Not declaring maybe they declared a mayday. I'm not sure exactly what the radar calls or the radio calls were. But what are you doing at this point? There's people claiming that the rat was deployed, and because of that, that means that power was out on both engines. And again, you've got an APU. Which is not going to get you flying. It's not going to give you any kind of motive power, but it is going to give you electrical power. So I don't know. It's just that whole crash situation was very strange. I don't think it was fuel contamination. Maybe they'll determine that, but I don't think it was. I think maybe there was a... I think it was some kind of a crew error of some kind. I do believe that the... Now, it does have auto throttles. If for some reason, you know, the flaps were put up and the gear was left down, I don't know what that airplane's going to do. I don't know. I don't know what the auto throttles are going to think. I don't know if all of a sudden your performance information goes away and now all of a sudden it's something. I don't know. Did they think they lost an engine and they pulled power back on both engines because they were afraid to get asymmetrical thrust? I don't know. It's just a weird situation. I don't know. I've seen people do weird things. I've done weird things. But not that weird, but just weird, because you'd hear about it in the news probably if I would have done weird things like that. But I don't know. Now, we got this situation with the shooter up in... Minnesota. Again, another bizarre situation. And I've watched this guy. I'm sorry, but this guy who was supposedly the killer's friend, when I listened to it initially, I had some real issues with this guy and some of the things he was saying, the way he was saying it. And the biggest problem I had with it was just that he seemed really disingenuous, and it was when I hear people crying, and especially men crying, there's a certain way a man cries that is, you know, genuine and realistic, and then there's this other way that seems manipulative and insincere. Here's a thing about the computer on that airplane. The update on the computer. Yeah. His roommate supposedly is who this guy is. Now, I don't. Supposedly, he wrote this letter and left it for. I don't know if he left it as an email, if he left it electronically, or if he gave it, you know, written this thing. What's weird about this letter and the way it was written and everything was going, they're trying to put this on him as being a right-wing, you know, Trump-supporting MAGA guy, which makes absolutely no sense to me. Why would you, the targets that he had were Democrats, yes, who had just voted with Republicans. If he was a right-wing MAGA guy, you would think he'd be going after the other people who didn't vote with the Republicans. If he was a, if there was something, it just makes no sense. This is a guy who worked for Tim Walz on a, they're playing it down like, oh, it was just a council committee thing. It wasn't, you know, anybody could have gotten on that. It was nothing. You know, you didn't have to be a Democrat to be on that committee, which is absolutely but the furthest thing from the truth. But he's saying that he wouldn't want to be called a Democrat. This guy wouldn't, you know, he'd be embarrassed to be called a Democrat. He voted for Trump, supposedly. We don't know that. Again, this is all coming from this supposedly roommate, which I don't understand. Is it his roommate now? Because he was married. I think he was married. So this is, again, weird stuff. And this guy comes out and does this thing. He's sitting on the step of his house or wherever he's at. I don't know where he's at. Reading this letter, crying and doing all this stuff and making all these statements. It's almost as if they're trying to. Now, again, this whole thing of. I'm just trying to put all this together in my head. I'm trying to think out loud. Let me know what you think. 812-379-8778. I don't know. And what's weird about this? Well, there's just too many weird things about this. And again, I'm flummoxed. I don't. It's to me, it seems. And again, now I don't have a manifesto. I was talking to my wife about this last night. I was asking her if she had a. Do you happen to have a manifesto? I don't have a manifesto. Apparently, people who are like mass killers like this. Apparently they write manifestos. Everybody out there is. Well, where's the manifesto? Okay, I guess if you become a school shooter or some kind of a mass shooter or some kind of mass killing of some sort, you're supposed to have a manifesto. So make sure you get that done before you do your thing, or they're not going to know what you're all about. I guess, is that something? Do people do that? I don't know if I have any friends out there who have manifestos. If you do, please let me know, because I'll report you to the authorities immediately. Because apparently that's your the next step is, you know, doing bad things. I don't understand this. How many? Weird shootings, school shootings, different things have happened over the last 10 years, 20 years. And there's a manifesto. I don't have one. Of course, I'm not planning on doing anything weird. I guess maybe if I was going to do something weird like that, I'd sit down and write a whole thing about why I'm doing it. Maybe that's, I don't know. It just to me, it's odd. So, that to me just shows that there's deliberation, there's contemplation, there's premeditated, you know, and the mens rea, the mindset, it just shows a lot of things there, in my opinion. They got a manifesto about it, the whole thing. My manifesto is going to be all about chai and sweet tea. That's what it's going to be about. And I want my sweet tea, and I better get it now, or there's going to be trouble. I'm going to cry and whine and make you feel really uncomfortable. So that's my manifesto. There you go. I'm ready to go out and commit sweet tea-ness, acts of sweet tea all over the place. But the whole situation is very strange. And of course, the left is, I think what made it so much weirder was that right away, within hours, for the first three or four hours after all this happened, CNN and MSNBC, all the commentators were saying this was obviously a right-wing MAGA terrorist. Those are the terms they were using. Some kind of extremist, terrorist extremist on the right wing, MAGA guy, Trump supporting. And that's the narrative they want to keep pushing. And to me, it seems odd that it's being shoved in our face, even though the act of what he did makes no sense. Well, they killed Democrats. Yeah, but he killed the wrong Democrats. And by the way, I don't mean to belittle or make trite of this. The families involved, those who've experienced injury and death, just know that the nation is sad in the midst of this whole thing. It is just not something that I don't know anybody who takes this lightly or thinks of it slightly. It's a tragedy. It is a horrible thing that has happened in those families' lives. I don't care which side of the fence you're on, which side of the political spectrum you're on. It's the taking of someone's life, the loss of life like that is horrific. And my heart goes out to all of you. Just know that you're people do care about you. So I just lost a friend last week. Not a close friend, but a close friend in school. Died in a car accident a week ago Monday. And I happened to be better friends with his brother, who's still with us. But he was a schoolmate of mine. He graduated in the same class I did. And so I knew him. And we did have a friendly relationship in grade school and high school. He started in grade school a couple years, the same grade school I was in, a couple years after I started there. I started there in fourth grade. He started in sixth grade. So we were kind of both the newbies. And didn't grow up with everybody else in that situation. But it was a different day, time and day. It was just a different experience in school back then. It was a very small school. Everybody knew everybody. It was public school, but it was kind of a country school. And so it's just tough. It's kind of like losing, lost kind of family, sort of thing. But he ended up being able to go to his funeral. So I guess it reminds us again of how precious, especially when someone's life is taken untimely like that, and especially unexpectedly. My father-in-law was also lost unexpectedly, and in my opinion, way too early. He was just kind of in the groove of life, in my opinion. He was just kind of in his golden years, I would say. Which I have yet to enter into. I hopefully have a golden month. That's what I'm hoping for. Maybe a golden week. Be great. Life is golden all around, but you just have to look back on it and realize that it is, I think when you start realizing how much more precious life is, the older you get. And, start realizing how, you appreciate things you didn't appreciate back when you were, youth is wasted on the young. Did Mark Twain say that? Who said that? Because they don't appreciate it. Anyway, as I stretch and all my bones crack, I think it's time to move on. It's been an hour. Have I even said anything? I'm just getting started. Folks, I don't know if there's going to be a show tomorrow or morning or not. I'm not exactly sure what I'm doing tomorrow. And I probably won't know until midnight tonight. Actually until 1 o'clock in the morning. That's right. I believe there will be possibility of a show in the morning. I don't know that for a fact. Possibly a live show, but I don't know. I'm just not sure how tomorrow's going to go. I start back to work tomorrow. They haven't given me any indication of what I'm doing other than I know I'm kind of on call. But I don't think they can put me on call at 4 in the morning, at least. I think they have to put me on call at 10 o'clock, so I think. Which is helpful to some degree. So there probably might maybe be a show tomorrow. Monday, I have no idea. Monday and Tuesday, again, up in the air. Who knows? God bless. Have a great weekend. Shabbat shalom if I don't see you tomorrow. Take care and pray for our nation. See ya.